Confession. I have a problem with judging people when it comes to Christmas. But before you start judging me, it's only about one thing. There are two types of people in the world. People who decorate for Christmas super early, and the people who wait until the last minute. And I used to wait until the last minute, and I thought there was something wrong with people who put Christmas in October. People who start decorating super early. But recently, I've started to change my mind just a little, and here's why. January. Every January, I find myself bummed out that the Christmas season is done. Everyone's focus is on their New Year's resolutions. The real Christmas tree is shedding needles everywhere. Again, hold your judgment, all you fake Christmas tree people. The family has come and gone, and the holiday is over. You can get excited about the newness of a brand new year, but a number changing on the calendar doesn't make up for missing out on the joy and the nostalgia of Christmas. You'll take off the ornaments, you'll box up the tree, you'll bring down the lights and put everything away until next year. And for many people, that also means putting everything about the kid, about Jesus, away for the rest of the year. And there's a feeling that comes around the Christmas season, a sense. People seem more kind, more joyful, more grace-filled. It's like putting the story of the kid front and center in our world changes something. Even if people don't believe in the kid, his story still influences the world around us somehow. But when the Christmas season is over, doesn't it seem like all that joy, all that grace, the sense that all is right in the world, comes crashing back down to the harsh reality that life is hard? You dive right back into studying for tests and exams, friendships that ebb and flow from, "You're so great," to, "We're not even speaking." Practice and rehearsals and games and productions and training for the next season. Parents or guardians who are so thoughtful at Christmas now get on your last nerve. An unexpected breakup that breaks your heart. The future that doesn't slow down, screaming towards you at full speed. All just sometimes feels really difficult. Maybe that's why it's so sad when the season is over. It's not just the passage of time, the passage of days on a calendar, it's the boxing up and putting away of that feeling. But what if we didn't need to box up that kindness, that grace and peace? What if we carried that sense of Christmas beyond, well, Christmas? What if that same hope walks with you into a test in March? What if that same joyfulness is something that goes with you as you walk the hallways of your schools this May? What if that same peace hits your heart as you walk back to the team dugout after you've struck out this July? What if that same grace continues with you so your guardian doesn't push your button so much when they ask you to clean your room this September? Well, they'll probably still ask you to clean your room earlier in the year, you know, probably all around the year, but, you know, whatever. Because what happened at Christmas is not something that has to be boxed up at the end of the season. God intended that the arrival of the kid changes everything, especially you. Just like the Christmas celebration isn't limited to one season, God had planned to send Jesus for a long, long time. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the first century church in Ephesus that said that before the foundation of the world, God had planned to send Jesus. Let me explain. Some scholars believe that the Old Testament is full of prophecies about this Messiah, or this new king the Jewish people were expecting, who would one day come to change everything. Scholars believe these prophecies said things about the Messiah's birth, birthplace, and even his family line. These prophecies hinted at what he would do, the miracles he would perform, and the message he would bring. So for thousands of years, people were waiting and looking for the coming Messiah to set them free. A lot of people assumed this Messiah or king would come to free them with strength and swagger. Most people weren't expecting a baby. So when a baby was born in Bethlehem, it makes sense that there was no royal ceremony or parade and that there wasn't a massive following of people around him as he grew up in Nazareth. God's plans were different than what many expected. Even some of Jesus' first disciples early on in his ministry cited his hometown as a disqualifier to his claims. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. People thought the Messiah would be a military leader or a popular politician, but Jesus was neither of those things. At 30 years old, he began teaching and showing people who God is and what God is like. Over the next 3 years, the kid from Nazareth turned water to wine to save newlyweds from embarrassment. He healed the sick because God loves wholeness. He raised the dead because God is the author of life. Calm storms because God reigns over the weather. He forgave sins because he is God. He gave up his own life to break the curse of sin. He rose from the dead to break the curse of death. And he sent his spirit to live within his followers so they could be close to God and live in a way that reflects his goodness. Jesus was the Messiah that God had been promising was coming. See, this is the full story of Jesus. Without the life Jesus lived, we wouldn't celebrate the kid's birth. He'd just be another kid. But this kid is different. This kid is the promised Messiah. The kid is the one who fulfilled prophecies in the Old Testament. The kid from Nazareth is the Son of God. Jesus' friend John wrote a gospel, and it says this: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." This is why the kid matters. That's exactly why Jesus told us that he showed up in the first place. And that kid shows those of us who follow him how to live a better life than we've ever dreamed of. We can carry hope into that really difficult exam because of the kid at Christmas. We can carry joy down the hallways and on the stage and on the practice field because of the kid at Christmas. So why should we not box Jesus up with all the other Christmas stuff and only bring him back out once a year? Why should we give Jesus our attention even after Christmas is done? Why should we continue to learn about and worship the kid every day of the year? Because the kid changes everything, especially you. Jesus offers you a better life than you could ever dream of. Jesus wants to help you live a better life than you imagined you'd ever live. Jesus changes everything. And he wants to change your life for the better too. So what do we do with all of this? Let me offer two things. Maybe for you, this Christmas, you realize just how much the kid is changing you. You're realizing the story of the kid from nowhere is something you want your life to be anchored in. Even better, you believe it is the story you're willing to wrestle with for the rest of your life. Of course, you don't understand everything that that entails. None of us do. But for you, this Christmas, you realize that you want to follow Jesus, to follow his example, to allow Jesus to be exactly who he was born to be. If that is you, let me encourage you to talk to your small group leader or someone you trust about what it means to follow Jesus. Or maybe for you, this year, you need to pick one thing that reminds you about the story and life of Jesus, the kid from nowhere, and don't box it up. Place it somewhere in your room where you'll see it every day. It may stand out among everything else since it's the only Christmas thing still out in January, but that's the point. Let this one item be a reminder for you of what Jesus has done for you. Sometimes we need to keep reminders to keep the wonder and excitement elevated through every season. Maybe you have a nativity scene at your house. Maybe you can hold on to one of the shepherds to remind you of what we talked about in part two of this series, that Jesus is for everyone. And that includes you. Or if there's no way your guardian will let you keep one piece of the nativity scene in your room all year, maybe you can get one of those ornaments with a message taped onto it, like, "Jesus showed up for me." Or maybe hold on to an ornament that takes you all the way back to week one of this series to remind you that the kid changes how you see your situation. Jesus goes with us everywhere we go. And his spirit, which is his presence and power, is guiding, leading, empowering, and comforting you all year long. So let that one physical part of Christmas be a reminder of that. Before too long, you'll be packing up Christmas. And January will come, and you'll have to wait another year to celebrate again. But thanks to the kid, you can experience the best possible life through every season. Sure, that doesn't mean life will be easy. There will be ups and downs. But the kid who was born over 2,000 years ago promises to give you more joy, peace, hope, and love than you can imagine throughout your entire life. See, when you follow the kid, Jesus, you begin to experience the full life he promised. The kid changes everything, especially you. So when you head to groups, think about your answer to this one question. What is one way the kid can change your life for the better?